Turning your Bibles to Psalm 23, we started last week in this, and we only got through the third point on the first page, so we'll finish that up, and then we'll move on to the second part, and we're in this for the whole month, so we'll just pick up. We'll finish at the same time. Now, last week, we had a little Psalm 23 bookmarker, and I know some of you probably missed that. How many of you would like us to do this again? And would any of you like to have the bookmarker? Okay. Okay, we'll do this again, and I'll have more of these next week. It's really nice to just keep in your Bible and if you want to remind yourself and memorize the psalm. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most familiar psalms in all the Bible. But unfortunately, so often we associate Psalm 23 with a funeral psalm, but it's more than that. And we'll sort of indicate that and bring it out. Now, you'll notice last week that in the message there, and just turn to that one that says, in the pasture, adequacy. And our point is, in the first three verses, he's talking about the pasture and the ministry of the shepherd to the sheep, and just the fact that God is adequate for all of our needs, and you see that in your central idea, just reminding us that that Jesus is adequate. He's adequate for every need that the sheep may have, and just really keep that in your mind. He's adequate for every need that the sheep may have as they are in the pasture, and you know the scripture refers to you and me as believers, as the sheep. And we're reminded in that verse 1, and I want to encourage you to keep a key word, and I always like key words when I'm looking at portions of Scripture. But when you're reading Psalm 23, you think of Psalm 23, think of the word relationship. Because in the very first phrase, he says, the Lord is whose shepherd? My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, internalize that and keep in mind the importance of that. The Lord, David is referring as God to God as the Lord, the divine name mentioned in the Hebrew. You'll remember when Moses was going before Pharaoh and God had instructed him, and he said, well, who should I tell him is sending me? And he said, tell him I am has sent you. And Yahweh is the word in the Old Testament for Jehovah, Jehovah God, reminding us of the self-existent being, the God who actually exists. And so David calls Yahweh my shepherd. And to David, the sheep, God was his own personal shepherd. And that's the way David And of course, David's background was that of a shepherd. So he's writing from his own experience, his own background, his own heart. And you see him sharing much with us. Now, you'll notice in that outline from last week, be sure and look at the conclusion later on, because John Phillips had an interesting outline. He said he discovered this in his mother's Bible when she passed away. In Psalm 23, she referred to it as the secret of a happy life, the secret of a happy death, and the secret of a happy eternity. And when you think about that in as an outline, boy, that's a great outline. Let me encourage you to hang on to that and look that up at a later time. Now, you'll notice that as we looked at this, we talked about the blessings. And you see in your outline the believer may claim six blessings, and just think about the blessings, and I'll just hurriedly go through the first three, and then we'll pick up in number four. But you'll notice in very first off, the shepherdhood of the Lord. You see that in the first part that I just read. The Lord is my shepherd. And as the believer claims these blessings in the first three verses, he may claim the shepherdhood of the Lord. And unbelievers may have false shepherds, or they may have invalid claims that they lay to someone that they follow. But the psalmist had this deep-seated assurance that the Lord, the Eternal One, was his shepherd. And he saw the redemptive grace and the covenant love of God. One of the key words in the Old Testament is the word covenant. It just simply means agreement. God was always making covenants and agreements with his people. Now, secondly, you'll notice the shepherd's sufficiency in the second part of verse 1. I shall not want. And boy, what a great reminder there. He's recognizing the fact that God is sufficient. You know, Paul reminds us of that so much. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, in everything, I'm content. Whether I'm lowly or whether I'm on the high spear of life, he said, I am content because I know that God is in control and God will continue to be in control. So we see the shepherd's sufficiency there. I shall not want. He's sufficient to meet your needs. Now, he didn't promise to meet all your greeds. We have a lot of things we're greedy for, right? A lot of things we'd like to have. A lot of things we wish for. But he says, I'm sufficient for your needs, the shepherd's sufficiency. I shall not want. Literally, I shall not lack. I shall not be deficient in anything. And just reminding us of this great salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, thirdly, you see rest and refreshment, and you see that in the first part of verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and you see the Lord painting the picture there of the shepherd and the sheep who trusted the shepherd. And you would really benefit from reading about the characteristics of sheep from the Bible perspective. Last week we read John 10, 1 through 18. I would encourage you to jot that down and read it. And boy, you'll see Paul remind us, or John remind us in that in his gospel, that God is our great shepherd, and you'll find so much correlation to the message that he had. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Now, while he supplies rest, and he supplies our needs, not only physical and mental needs and rest, but most important and crucial, God supplies our spiritual rest. Now, sometimes we have physical, social, emotional, maybe even financial needs and unrest because we're not connecting with the spiritual promises of God. So rest and refreshment. And he's just reminding us there that David, in writing this psalm, is a former shepherd keeping watch over flocks in the wilderness. And he knew their bad habit of wandering. And sometimes you and I have a bad habit of wandering in our spiritual life. I sometimes like it to the Israelites in the Old Testament, wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, God's judgment upon them for their disobedience, their lack of faith. And you'll remember, if you go back and study that, they were just wandered in a circle for 40 years. And sometimes you and I find ourselves wandering around the wilderness, and sometimes we're just like the shepherd going after the wandering woolly sheep that he's in charge of, and realizing that when the night falls that they'll be lurking in the darkness, and there will be wolves, there will be savages, there will be all kinds of problems that will be looking for them. The shepherd counts his sheep. And as John 10 reminds us, he reminds us that God knows our name. He knows who we are. He knows his sheep. And you find in the Old Testament that the shepherd knew all of his sheep. As a matter of fact, one of the great illustrations of the Old Testament, often several shepherds would show up at the same fold, and they would have a fenced-in area, and all the sheep would go in. But when the shepherd was ready to leave, all he had to do was go to the door and call for his sheep, and they knew his voice. And his sheep would just wander toward, and they would follow him. And now, if you think about the need for rest and refreshment, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What an example, what an illustration, just reminding us of that great need that we have, and seeking the peace of God. Romans 5:1 reminds us that we can have peace with God before we have peace of God, according to Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7 reminds us of the peace of God and the peace with God. And he'll keep and guard us, he says. Now pick up on the fourth one. We see the shepherd's guidance. The shepherd's guidance. Pick up in verse 4. And number four there, and the last part of verse two, he leads me beside the still waters. Again, you have to think of the characteristics of the sheep. The sheep could be tired and weary and traveling all day and dusty and dirty and just dying of thirst. But they could come up to a stream, and if that stream was rough, they would just stand and look at it. They would not drink of it. And, you know, one of the best things when you're working hard, you remember sometimes getting out in the yard, maybe cutting the grass, spending a couple hours or an hour or so. There's nothing more than refreshing than just a good cold glass of water, is there? And Gatorade's good, but you got all that sugar and all that other stuff, but boy, just a good cold. And so the shepherd knew this, that the sheep sometimes feared the rough water. They would not drink because of that fear. One commentator said they might even have been afraid if they fell into the water, and you know, they had this wool coat, and boy, that would get heavy and perhaps weigh them down under the water. So the shepherd would try to lead them to a place in the stream, his guidance. He would try to lead them to a place where the water was calm. And sometimes if he couldn't find that place, he would even make a quick little dam and slow the water down and have an area where the sheep could go take advantage of that. And so we see this great emphasis on the shepherd's guidance in all of our lives. He leads me beside still waters. Waters of deep quietness, that literally means. Waters of deep quietness. Sometimes you and I need the solitude of quietness, don't we? Somebody was telling me this morning, after our morning Bible study at 9:30, you ought to join us at 9:30 sometimes. We just finished 2 John, 1 John. We're going to start in 3 John next week. You didn't know John was triplets, did you? You thought he was the same guy, didn't you? And but next week we'll be in 3 John. But someone mentioned that, you know, when they're studying the Word of God, they like quiet and solitude. And, you know, Psalms talks a lot about that. We live in a noisy day, don't we? And I guess I sometimes feel like an old fogey. Sometimes I'm sitting at a red light and all of a sudden I hear the boombox of some truck that's jacked up about 10 feet high off the road and the noise, and my car's almost shaking, especially if I'm in that little Prius, and I start looking around. My wife says, "Quit looking." And she's probably right. You don't know today what's going to happen, do you? But we live in a noisy day, don't we? And do you feel like you have to have noise all the time? But boy, Psalms talks a lot about solitude And he leads me beside the still waters. And if you're going to study the Word of God, sometimes you just need a quiet, calm time and place just to get along with God. Now, God can listen to you regardless of the atmosphere, but sometimes we don't listen to God, right? Sometimes God wants to relate to us from the Word, but we're not listening. And in our study in Revelation of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, you remember at the end of every one of the churches that he addresses, he says, "He who has a listening ear, let him hear." And God reminds us all the time, listen, pay attention. That's why sometimes I ask you the question, are you listening to me? Because I know you're already thinking about Mother's Day dinner. Wonder where they're taking me. Are we going to Five Guys again? You know where my mom, do you know where my wife wanted to go for Mother's Day dinner? Red Robin. How many of you like Red Robin? Now, the reason Barb likes Red Robin is because Barb has a gluten problem, and Red Robin has the best gluten-free hamburger bun. And when we eat hamburgers at home, she could never have a bun. But we go to Red Robin, and boy, she knows right away the simple burger. Everybody know the simple burger? Loaded, everything on it. And she just sits there and enjoys that burger. So we were down there last night, and we had to pick up our son, our grandson at a basketball game. He had a game at 2, and he finished at 3. We took him to get dinner at Red Robin. He ordered one of those cheese bacon burgers stacked about that high. And I was on about my third bite, and he was finishing his. I asked him if he was chewing it or if he was just swallowing it. Oh, boy. And then he ordered a second load of fries. I said, "You got another game at 5 o'clock. But we see the emphasis here and the importance of what he's teaching us. He leads me beside the still waters. And I encourage you to just listen to that. Sometimes we live in such a stressful time. We live in a stressful time, don't we? And 610 is almost as bad as 95 anymore. We were coming back from our Red Robin trip yesterday, going back. We were in Fredericksburg at the gym down there on Route 2, so we took Route 2 down to 17 down. We came back, and as we were turning off 17 back onto Route 2 to go to the gym, boy, there was an accident, right? Two cars right there in front of us. And if you ever noticed on 610, when that light turns red, you better wait. Because they're shoo, shoo, shoo. And so we see here just this reminder for us of this matchless restfulness that results where the believer yields to the shepherd's guidance. Are you yielding to the shepherd's guidance? Are you listening? God has something for us. Don't stress out. Don't let your Bible study overwhelm you. Don't say, "Well, boy, I got to read 2 chapters today. I got to read what?" You know, take your time. Slow down. Read it a verse at a time. Read a verse and stop and think about it. Holy Spirit has something for you. He knows our needs. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through the Word. Just slow down. There's no hurry. And sometimes we feel like, "Well, I want to read the Bible in a year." Well, God will forgive you. It takes 2 years or 3. And of course, if you're as old as I am, you don't want to take too long. But we see here that just the emphasis. I read something fascinating from one commentator. He said occasionally one particular young sheep would get in the habit of wandering off. And again and again, the shepherd would have to go and find the wandering sheep. Sometimes he'd see something out, maybe grass looked greener. And so when this would occur too often, the shepherd would lift the lamb from the thistles and the cactus, and he would hold it close, and he would abruptly break his leg. And then he would immediately put a splint on that shattered leg, and then he would carry that once wayward lamb over his shoulders. Hopefully during that period of restoration, the sheep learns not to wander off and to depend completely upon the shepherd. Now, God's not going to break your leg, but listen, God has a way of bringing certain pressures into your life and my life sometimes because we're not paying attention. When you're not paying attention and God has something for you, listen, God has something for all of us. Sometimes we get busy, we get too distracted. We're wandering off in the wilderness. And if you're not careful, you'll miss God's plan. You'll miss His purpose in life. And sometimes there's somebody that God wants you to embrace, to encourage, to minister to. And sometimes we're so caught up in ourselves that we completely miss that. The shepherd's guidance is so important to us. And you see that special promise. And look at the last part of that verse again. The shepherd's guidance, he leads me beside the still waters. The Palestinian shepherd was a master of reading tracts. And that word lead there means that he knows my path. He knows the track I need to take. And sometimes the road would be rough. Sometimes there would be cliffs. Sometimes there would be a narrow way. And the shepherd knew that he had to lead. And the shepherd always led. And the sheep grew to trust the shepherd. And that's why they would follow him. He guides me in the right tracks for his name's sake, is what he's saying there. He guides me in the right tracks. The sheep were wise to follow only their shepherd who always led them along the right track. Listen, God will never lead you on the wrong path. Do you hear me? God will never lead you on the wrong track or the wrong path. That's why I mentioned John 10:10 earlier. I am come that you might have life. Not only do I want you to have life, I want your life to be overflowing. I want it to be abundant. But you have to trust Him in order to get to that place. Look at number 5, spiritual renewal. Look at verse 3. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The tone changes in the as we move through this, and you see occasionally there would be a sort of a change, and you see the spiritual renewal that takes place. He restores my soul, and he turns the sheep back to the green pastures and the still waters when it yields an area that's unsafe for the sheep. You see, the shepherd's responsibility was to keep the sheep safe. The shepherd's responsibility was to lead them and guide them. And that's what's amazing to me about John 10. That's why I keep referring to that, because he teaches us there that we are God's sheep. He's our great shepherd. And you know, sheep, they're one of the dumbest animals in the world. But they trust, they depend completely on the shepherd. And they depend on the shepherd for this spiritual renewal that they need in their life. He restoreth my soul. He turns the sheep back and when they're prone to wander. And then look at number 6, divine leadership. Look at the last part of verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So you see this divine leadership here. And the shepherd goes ahead to lead the sheep. He doesn't go behind them and push them and prod them. And he goes ahead and they trust him. They hear his voice. They feel safe. They feel secure. They follow him. And so you have this present guide for the sheep and to protect them and to lead them along the way. So we see in the pasture, we see that God is adequate. Now, flip your outline over, and our second major area is in the valley, serenity. And we're going to look at verse 4. Now, notice our central idea there. The shepherd is with us to care for every hurt and heal every bruise. Now, we've already mentioned this a couple times, but sometimes we have hurts, habits, hang-ups, bruises. We feel battered, beaten down, discouraged, maybe even depressed. And that's why God wants to bring us to this place of serenity. He wants to care for every hurt and every bruise. And listen, you can seek so many different ways and so many different possibilities. But God is the answer always. And that's why he reminds you in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And so we see here that verses 4 through 6 give us these 6 truths that the believer may appropriate. And first of all, in verse 4, we see the divine companionship. We understand the word companionship, but listen, the most important companion in this world for you is God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he reminds us there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, literally translated, that means the valley of deep darkness. Because in Palestine, they would go through the valley, and sometimes there would be cliffs, sometimes there would be trees, sometimes there would be shadows. And so the tone changes here. The slopes and the bubbling brooks of verses 2 and 3 would plunge down into the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of deep darkness. And you see how this verse ties into verse 3. You'll observe verse 3 promises that our shepherd Savior guides us along right tracks, but verse 4 is simply saying that one of these tracks, our paths, winds along the deep downward valley below. There's a reason for this. Because early in the year in Palestine, the flocks would graze leisurely in the lowlands. But as summer sun begins to melt the high mountain snow, the shepherd leads the flock to better grazing areas above. And this included dangerous paths filled with uncertainties. And sometimes it'd be dark and unfamiliar, difficult. Trees would block the sunlight. There would be serpents coiled along the path ready to strike. And so the shepherd would lead the way fully aware of the valley's path. He knew the path. God knows the path. He knows the track. He knows the area. He knows how rough it can be sometimes. And so even though I walk through the valley of deep darkness. See, as God's sheep, we're sometimes led by Him into the valley of darkness where there's fear and danger and uncertainty and the unexpected and perhaps even death, although this is not referring to just death, and sometimes that's the only reference we make. It's not only the valley of the shadow of death, it is sometimes the valley of dark times or challenging times or struggles in life. And so we see this divine companionship. I will fear no evil. I will fear no harm, for thou art with me. The valley of the shadow of death includes not only the experience of the near experience of death, but the valley of deep darkness. Sometimes we go through dark times when God seems to be far away and fear is most likely to appear as, to bring fright and uncertainty. During these times, His presence is guaranteed. The believer can rout out the fear because God has promised to be present. And you ought to pay close attention to that, for you are with me. You'll notice in your notes that he turns in your introduction. David has been using the third person singular in the first three verses, he, to describe the journey. Suddenly he drops the third person for the second person singular, and in verse 4 he begins to refer to you. You are with me. We're not walking in the valley, but we're walking through the valley. We're walking through this life. We know how it's going to end. We know that he has a place for us, that he's preparing for us. Boy, what a great thought. For you are with me. You are with me. And then you see the second part of that. You see divine comfort. Divine companionship, divine comfort. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mark it down when he says he's with you that there's no experience, no valley, no journey that you have to go along. God gives David great comfort and companionship here. He recalls the tools of his former trade, the rod and staff. The shepherd's rod was a symbol of his power. One commentator described it. He said it was an oak club about 2 feet in length. It was used to defend the flock against wild beasts, and the head of the rod was round, usually whittled from the knot of a tree in which the shepherd had pounded sharp bits of metal. This heavy club could easily kill a lion or bear or a thief, threatening the safety of the... And then the shepherd's staff was his crook, which was bent or hooked at one end. It provided the shepherd with an instrument for prying a sheep loose from a thicket or from an area where he was stuck, pushing the branches aside and on a narrow path. And like the rod, the staff was a symbol of the shepherd's power and strength. The sheep took comfort in the strength of the shepherd. Let me just ask you in closing, in what ways do you wonder from a faithful relationship with God? Are you as faithful as you ought to be? You remember the Old Testament, God's chosen people, the Israelites. He asked one great thing of them. I mean, there were several things he asked, but one important thing, he said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to have to judge you. And you and I have that same. It's so easy for us to wander from this, and sometimes in disobedience, and completely turn our back on this divine companionship and the divine comfort that He has promised us. What kind of relationship would you have with the Lord if He did not continually restore you? We all need restoration, don't we? Why do you think God does this for His people? Why does He promise us this? Because He knows that we have a tendency to wander. And He knows that sometimes He just has to bring me back. And He has to help me and encourage me and do whatever is necessary to bring me back into His fellowship. Don't let others who have no interest in your spirituality cause you to wonder. Don't let other passions of the day that can take over our lives, hobbies, work, other things that can draw us away from this personal relationship we need with the Lord. I trust that you'll continue to read the psalm. And as you think about this valley of the shadow of death, just think about that importance of the shadow. Think about the shadow as opposed to reality. When I was growing up, I was born in a place called Grundy, Virginia. Anybody know where Grundy is? It's the other end of the state, right in the corner. You get at the end of town, it's just a cliff right up, straight up, right on the Kentucky-West Virginia line. And one time we lived back up in a holler. Anybody know what a holler is? We lived back up in a holler, and my dad was a coal miner then, and there was a church that would open up in the evenings. It was probably about 3 miles from us, and we'd walk down there in the evening, and I had an older brother, 3.5 years older than me, Pat. We'd go down there and play games, and then we'd go home. It'd be pitch dark. You know those hollers, you couldn't see your hand in front of you, right? I mean pitch dark. My brother was always a aggravating cut-up. So we would start down that road home, and about a mile down the road, he'd take off running and leave me. But I knew down the road someplace he was lurking in the dark. And he was going to come out, and he was going to scare me to death. And I would need a change of clothing real bad. But I knew, and he did it every time. Every time he did it, I didn't know where or when, but you could hear the dogs howling back in the good night. You might see a light way off someplace, but you just hoped you stayed on the road. We understand darkness. We understand shadows. But, you know, the reality is the promises of God, right? I hope this morning that you'll trust God. The Lord is who, shepherd? My shepherd. He's my shepherd. Let's pray. Let me just ask you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just to really reflect on yourself. I know that there are a lot of things to reflect on, a lot of things to think about, but reflect on your relationship with the Lord today. He's promised to be your shepherd if you know Him as your personal Savior. He says, I hear your voice. I know who you are. God knows all about you. He knows when it happens, and He knows that it happens in His timing. God is in control in His sovereignty. But He has a special blessing and a plan for all of us. I trust this morning that the first question you'll ask yourself, is God truly my shepherd? Have I trusted Him as my personal Savior? Do I know Jesus died on the cross for me? And then secondly, if you know Christ as your Savior, are you in the right relationship with Him, or are you wandering away? If you don't know Christ today and you're not sure, let me encourage you to ask Jesus into your life. Repent of your sins and ask God to save you. His Son has already done all the work. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Trust Him. If I can help you ever in any way, please let me know. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for this day that we could worship You. We thank You for the Word of God. Help us to trust You. Trust Your companionship. Trust Your comfort. Because we're a needy people. We thank You for Your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.